As the water recedes, authorities are scrambling to assess the extent of the damage. Weld County, northeast of Boulder, is the state's leading agricultural producer and also its second largest producer of gas and oil. Aerial photos of the area show several drilling platforms and oil tanks toppled or washed away in the flood. Todd Hartman is with the Colorado Department of Natural Resources.
There are about 20,000 active oil and gas wells in Weld County. Now, that's not to say that that many wells have been impacted by this event, but purely, you know, I think it's safe to say that we've had hundreds of sites probably affected one way or the other.
So what types of contaminants are in the area that could potentially find their way into the environment as a result of this flood?
You know, to answer that question broadly, there are a number of municipal sewage treatment plants that have already been affected. There are enormous agricultural activities, so you have anything from pesticides, herbicides, and the sort of large diesel storage tanks that you might see on a lot of farms. And of course, as you point out, you have a great deal of oil and gas development. More than anything, you have tanks at a wellhead that capture the oil that comes up from the ground, and those tanks store the oil. It's crude oil. A lot of folks have expressed concern about fracturing chemicals used in the hydraulic fracturing process. The number of sites that where there may have actually been fracking going on with this flood occurred is anywhere from few to perhaps, you know, zero. I think that's still being, you know, sorted out. So I guess my major point here is that's not to downplay the issue at all, because we do have crude oil stored in tanks at many of these sites, and you know, clearly you don't want that escaping into the environment.
Yes, there are pictures that one can see of the oil tanks toppled over, the drilling platforms destroyed. How large a concern do you have there that the oil spills could turn out to be a widespread problem? And how resistant are these wells to flooding situations?
You know, generally speaking, those are double-walled tanks, and they're pretty robust, but that's certainly not to suggest that they would be immune to problems here. We do have concerns about the scenes you've described, and we're out there now trying to get a sense of whether this is a widespread problem. We don't quite know enough yet to say with any certainty that this is either a very small impact or a very large impact.
How concerned are you that contaminants might be finding their way into groundwater, which could potentially, of course, become a public health problem?
We're absolutely concerned. I'm no hydrologist, and I'm not a scientist, and so I hesitate to make this point, but I would say that since you specifically asked about groundwater, you know, initially, if you did have a problem, this is going to be carried in surface waters, and surface waters would be the most immediate concern. I think over time, over a longer period, here as the waters recede, and we have a better sense of what occurred, you know, we will be looking at groundwater impacts and trying to determine, you know, what the impacts on groundwater are. But I think our immediate concern here is the more obvious and visible, knowable impacts.
What about the question of sediment contamination in the weeks, months, and years ahead? There's a lot of agriculture there in Colorado. How might farmers, ranchers be affected, be concerned about pollution on their land following this great flood?
Well, I think they should be very vigilant about that. We are taking it seriously. We, like the farmers and other landowners, will want to know about that. We will be looking for it ourselves, because it's in nobody's interest to have sediments, soil contamination or groundwater contamination. We all benefit from the agriculture that takes place in that region, and in fact, a lot of that food is consumed here in the Denver metro area, so there's a high level of awareness there.
I'm wondering if in the future the experience of this flood might affect how you handle permitting for oil and gas wells.
Well, I think any time something out of the ordinary like this happens, it's an opportunity to ask ourselves, can we do better? Is there a regulatory approach that needs to be reviewed here? You know, by the same token, do you have to balance that with the idea that this is, at least in this point in our state's history, an extremely unusual event? And do you build regulations around an event this unusual, or is there some middle ground you reach? But doubtless, we will be, you know, examining closely what occurred here, what the impacts were, and whether there are things that we can do in our regulatory capacity to address this were it to occur in the future and reduce those impacts. But it's awfully early for us to be thinking much about that when we still don't fully understand what the impacts were.
Well, good luck sort of seems lame compared to what you're up against.
Well, I appreciate the sentiment regardless, and it's good to speak about it with you.
Todd Hartman is the spokesman for the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, how the food we throw away could power our homes for the future. Keep listening to Living on Earth.